Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. At least briefly joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. Jamie's got a bug out on us, but football is here. Almost. Today is the Green Bay Packers shareholders meeting, the annual business meeting taking place at Lambeau Field today. Parking lots are open as we speak. There are tailgaters out there getting their 8:30 a.m. beer on. It feels good to be here. It feels good. You know, these past couple mornings, in fact, as soon as I wake up, I take the dog out in the morning to go to the bathroom. It feels like fall when I walk outside. It's just been about these past 3 days or so, been a little bit after a very hot streak that pretty much affected most of the USA about a week ago or so. A little unseasonably cool here. It's like fall is in the air. It's a little bit crisp. It's kind of nice. I think the heat's going to come back for a little while yet, but regardless, it feels like football is here. Training camp is now just 2 days away. We're a day away from the start of practice. In fact, later this afternoon, Green Bay Packers players are reporting to their dorms at St. Norbert College in De Pere, Wisconsin for training camp. They report to Packers facilities tomorrow. Tomorrow they'll just have meetings, probably take their physicals. Nothing happening that the fan can see tomorrow, but the first practice underway bright and early Friday morning. In fact, we'll be having Railbird Central during training camp practice. It starts at like 8:15 or something. I got to check. It's like 8:15 or 8:30, so it's right around now. I got to check out the exact time. But yeah, we'll be having Railbird Central right during practice on Friday, and we'll be discussing the latest happenings that are going on the practice field just 2 short days away. So make sure to check that out then. I'm going to get to the Aaron Rodgers and Ryan Braun connection here. That's going to be a major topic for today's show. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are already sick of the topic, but this is the first episode of Railbird Central since the news broke, so you're getting my take on it, whether you like it or not. But yeah, just for the time being here, the Packers shareholders meeting happens today. It gets underway at 11 o'clock a.m. Tailgating parking is already open at Lambeau Field. The gates to Lambeau Field open at 9 o'clock a.m., an opportunity for those shareholders to, kind of check out the stadium and just wander around, things like that. Meeting at 11 o'clock, probably lasts a little over an hour usually, I'd say. And then from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., shareholders have an opportunity to tour the new South End Zone expansion at Lambeau Field. 7,000 new seats have been added. The new South Loft, is it the North Loft? That's new over there on that side of the field. The standing room only area overlooking Lambeau Field. They'll have a chance to take self-guided tours, look around, just see the new additions to Lambeau Field. So really cool. Football's underway. They're going to tell them all about the record profits the Packers had in the past year. So all you shareholders out there can kind of bask in that the Packers franchise was really successful in the last fiscal year. I don't expect it to last, because I think next fiscal year, you'll see the upfront money paid to Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews, and to a lesser extent, just recently, even Morgan Burnett. All the upfront money paid to them in signing bonuses, things like that, will be, a nice big chunk will be taken out of the revenue next year. So You might not see record profits, although I hope you at least see some sort of profit a year from now. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. We'll talk about more about what is at hand today. So while the shareholders meeting gets underway, like I said, it was learned on Monday that Milwaukee Brewers outfielder Ryan Braun has suspended by Major League Baseball for the remainder of the season. This is for the connection between Ryan Braun and the Biogenesis Laboratory, whatever you want to call it. Ryan Braun has accepted this suspension. There will be no appeal. And essentially, by accepting this suspension, he is coming out and admitting he either took or bought steroids, and B, he lied about taking steroids before. Although there is no hard proof or evidence of this, he has admitted to it, and you know, in accepting his suspension. So obviously we're going to talk about the Green Bay Packers connection here, and that is the quarterback of the team, Aaron Rodgers, who is an acknowledged friend of Ryan Braun. You've probably seen the two appear in Milwaukee Brewers promotional commercials together. A year ago, the Brewers did this whole campaign featuring Aaron Rodgers and getting him involved. But also, acknowledge friends in general. That's not something Aaron Rodgers has ever denied. He's been at social events with Braun in the past, things like that. And they're also business partners in that they have a licensing relationship with 812 restaurants in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And as it is reported, there is actually supposed to be a second restaurant opened up later this year at some point in 2013, as reported by Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JS Online, that a new 812 restaurant is supposed to open up where escapes me, somewhere in the greater Milwaukee area, but there's already one open now, a second set to open. So, you know, Brewers outfielder Ryan Braun, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, essentially business partners in this respect, in that they have a licensing, they both have a licensing agreement. The name 812 comes from their jersey numbers, Ryan Braun being number 8, Aaron Rodgers being number 12, you know, kind of a sports bar type of atmosphere. Fans of Wisconsin sports go there to eat, can watch games, things like that. So there is your connection between the two. Now, way back when Ryan Braun originally appealed his suspension, his positive test for performance-enhancing drugs back in early 2012. Major League Baseball, the arbiter found him innocent, basically, or upheld his appeal. Ryan Braun won. He was not suspended. You know, the prevailing sentiment is that he got out on a technicality, in that his sample wasn't, you know, handled properly by the sample collector. It wasn't sent out right away like it was supposed to per rules of an agreement. So Braun throws the sample collector under the bus. But really, when the whole time, it was... He was guilty. I mean, he was using or at least bought performance-enhancing drugs, and more than likely he was using. And so Rodgers came out and defended his friend Braun, and, you know, used very strong language. And there was two tweets in particular that have caught my attention. One that's got a lot of publicity lately is the one in which he said he would bet his salary, his next year's salary, on Ryan Braun's innocence, that he didn't use performance-enhancing drugs. And he just sent this out to one fan, but he's like, yeah, I bet my next year's salary on it, that he wouldn't, you know, that Braun didn't use PEDs. But I believe the USA Today actually went out and interviewed this fan who was the recipient of the tweet, and just kind of funny. He says, yeah, I don't even expect him to pay up on his offer of next year's salary. But the fan said, I'll take one game check instead, which is hundreds of thousands of dollars regardless. So rather funny there. But another tweet that Rogers sent out that caught my attention is he referred to his followers or defenders of Braun as, quote, all you idiots, end quote. And that one bugged me. You know, he used such forceful language and argued against his friends so vehemently that one really kind of got under my skin a little bit, because he was, you know, basically belittling his followers, using intimidating language, calling them all you idiots. That doesn't sit well with me. And that is what I think Aaron Rodgers owes an apology for. Yes. Let me be very clear on this. I do not think Aaron Rodgers owes an apology for defending Ryan Braun. I think he owes an apology to those whom he referred to as all you idiots. That's who I think he has to apologize to, and what he should own up to. It's going to be a very interesting situation this upcoming Friday. So 2 days away from now, I can only assume that is the day in which Rodgers will meet with the media. Most Packers players will. There's media availability. I'm sure that the media will just be packed around Aaron at his locker, you know, waiting for his reaction, his response to his buddy Ryan, buddy and business partner Ryan Braun, and what went down. So yes, once again, I think Aaron Rodgers owes an apology to, quote, all you idiots, who, you know, believed Ryan Braun was guilty of using performance enhancing drugs. He doesn't have to, you know, apologize for defending Braun, just apologize for the language that he used and you know, rather foolishly, in my opinion, perhaps naively, you might say. You know, as far as what happens with Rodgers and Braun in the future, you know, if it were me, if I were Aaron Rodgers, I might reconsider my friendship, my relationship with Ryan Braun. I'm not sure how I would handle somebody like that lying to me and lying to everyone, basically lying to the general public who follows sports in America and beyond, you know, basically anybody who cares to, you know, follow the career of Ryan Braun, he's lied to and thrown this sample collector under the bus in the process. So, you know, if I were Rodgers, I might reconsider what, you know, I could frankly care less whether he does or not. I'm just saying what I would do. The only thing I think is that Aaron Rodgers owes, quote, all you idiots an apology. So that's where we are there. John on the live blog brings up a good question that's kind of related here. He says, I don't really want to get into it, but how much are PEDs in the NFL, which I think kind of ties into a similar discussion here that's kind of evolving, in that you just heard the news, I believe, on Monday coming out. The NFL is going to start testing for HGH, human growth hormone. This has been an issue that's been going on forever, for ages. Not ages, but years. You know, basically, with the last collective bargaining agreement, they really got started discussing it seriously about testing for HGH because it hasn't been done in the NFL. And you know, it's a form of, it's not a steroid, but it's a form of performance-enhancing drug. And the players' union has been against it, and rather, again, I think almost you can read into it as being an attempt to allow cheating to happen, you know, in that they're not testing for it, but should. And you know, they kind of have some argument about, you know, they want to make very sure about how it will be tested for and the manner in which the athletes will be tested. And what's happening here is, you know, that they're starting this baseline study. They're trying to figure out, okay, you know, who is the, you know, professional athlete, is the professional football player, does that person naturally have more human growth hormone than the regular, normal, everyday person? And it kind of sounds like there's some disagreement in the medical community about whether this could or could not be the case, but it's getting started here. So they're going to take basically a sample study of all NFL players for human growth hormone, but they're not going to suspend them yet. It's a baseline study that they're apparently starting this year, and something that will, in future seasons, could be suspended for. So that's kind of coming down the pike right now. They're kind of still in negotiations, last I heard, but it looks like this is something that's going to come reality very shortly. And they'll be testing all football players for HGH very shortly. So, you know, one more topic is, you know, spent a large part of today's show talking about Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Braun. If I could touch on one more topic here before the start of training camp, it was some other news that came out yesterday that I thought was, you know, noteworthy. And in fact, just to give a little background here, and it's worth it because I wanted to talk about an article that was published yesterday. It was published at Sports Illustrated's new MMQB website. And that is Peter King's website. If, you know, if you don't know Peter King, I can't help you. He's one of the deans of professional football writing. You know, and MMQB stands for Monday Morning Quarterback. That is the name of a column he's written for Sports Illustrated and their website for years. He's now, has his own website, in which, you know, in which there will be NFL coverage year round. And it's really cool because I think it really focuses on journalism and writing, whereas, you know, profootballtalk.com is a lot of breaking news, sometimes gossip, and that is that focus. But, you know, Peter King's website is really focused on prose and professional writing, and former Packers beat writer Greg Bedard of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is now a writer there. He has stopped covering the Patriots beat, which he had been for a while with the Boston Globe. Now writing for this website along with a host of other writers. Former Packers Vice President Andrew Brandt is a columnist there. In fact, I think today he previewed in that he would be writing a column about today's. He would write about the Packers shareholder meeting and, you know, its uniqueness in that it's one of the largest business meetings in the entire world. Which is neat and unique. So Andrew Brandt going to share his thoughts on that. Okay. Anyway, I'm digressing here, but do by all means go check out that, you know, Sports Illustrated website out. Yesterday, Peter King, namesake for the that website, wrote a feature profiled 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick yesterday. And I see Jamie's here, and maybe Jamie, if you could provide a link to that Monday Morning Quarterback article on Colin Kaepernick written by Peter King below our broadcast here. In that article, Colin Kaepernick talked about a whole litany of things. They talked about his tattoos and his family and being adopted and you know, interesting stuff. But the Packers angle, of course, that we're interested about is he talked about the playoff game between the 49ers and the Packers last year. Of course, as you know by now, the Packers lost. The 49ers racked up a ton of yards. And Colin Kaepernick acknowledged that there was basically a little bit of almost a mutiny in the Packers defensive huddle. Players arguing about each other about what to do, responsibilities, what they're all responsible for, and basically an inability to stop Kaepernick and the 49ers from running all over him. As you know by now, the 49ers gained 579 total yards that game, an astronomical number in the game of professional football, and an NFL single game record, 181 by Kaepernick on the ground. There were problems. Now, the good news for the Packers is, the GOAT from that game, if there was one player who might have had the worst game of anybody on the defensive side of the football that game, it was linebacker Eric Walden for the Packers, who could not contain Kaepernick and the read option, could not set the edge, just was, you know, made to look foolish on several occasions. Now, but by all means, Eric Walden was not the only one, but he was the biggest culprit. He is now gone from the Packers, at least. He signed in free agency with the Indianapolis Colts. We talked about this topic in depth back during free agency. I still can't believe the size of the contract the Colts gave to Eric Walden. But good for him and good for them. Maybe they think he's the answer. But so Eric Walden is now gone. And because of that, I think there is hope for the Packers defense to improve. Now, they got to improve in many areas. But, you know, Nick Perry is one guy in which they'll be looking to for improvement. Nick Perry will be looked to as the bookend opposite Clay Matthews. They'll be looking for increased production from him. I think Nick Perry will do better than Eric Walden. Now, there's certainly a ton Nick Perry has to prove. He saw sparing playing time his rookie year in the NFL. He's coming off the season in which he had the broken wrist, was placed on injured reserve. He's got to get over that, but there's no reason to think you can't get over a broken wrist and that he will. So those are all things that are looking up. You know, but the run defense in general has to be much better. Not only did Colin Kaepernick run all over them, Adrian Peterson did twice. You know, the run defense has to improve, but they also, you know, partially address that by going out and getting Dayton Jones in the first round of the NFL draft. I think he'll be an improvement. I do think the defensive line looked rather poor in that 49ers playoff loss. I don't think B.J. Raji looked very good that game, which is a disappointment because I think he was playing well the second half of the season, but he got pushed around. There needs to be improvement there as well. So these are all kind of things to keep an eye on here. I know who is Kevin Seifert at ESPN.com kind of thought maybe this will serve as a bulletin board material for the Packers defense because they go and meet Kaepernick and the 49ers in week one of the season, week one of the regular season. So they'll be looking for revenge for last year's playoff loss. The Packers have to go out to San Francisco week one, but it will be a matchup that is for sure that will be highly anticipated. A matchup between two teams that met twice last year, also last year's season opener, and again in the playoffs, and a team that took the Packers to the woodshed basically last year. At least from a defensive standpoint. So the Packers having to improve on that side of the football. And you know, it looks to me they have improved in some areas. Will it be enough to make up the difference? I'm still skeptical. But, you know, that's what this time is for. I'm so excited now to see, now that it's here, to see training camp unfold, get to see these rookies, get to see the new players in pads, see what they've got, see what they're made out of, what kind of impression they make. This is the time, and it all starts Friday. Like I said, practice will be underway when Railbird Central is on the air, so make sure to come back on Friday. And we'll have the live blog going. I think we'll probably actually on Friday go back to the Cover It Live blog so we can see the tweets, follow along what's going happening at practice. So that's what's happening. I see John on the live blog here. What is the very first thing you're looking at, Brian? If it's me, The most interesting thing I'm interested in seeing is the running back competition. That is the most intriguing thing for me. With Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin, the new blood added to the backfield, along with just a deep group in general, add, you know, DeJuan Harris, James Starks, Alex Green, the fight for roster spots that'll be taking place. That is the one biggest thing I'm interested in seeing from this team this year. But, I'm excited to see the whole team and all the new players. I'm excited to see every position. Don't get me wrong. That's just number one on my list if I had to rank them. So, but anyway, it's 9 o'clock, folks. I'll see you later. I'm going to be covering the Packers shareholders meeting later today. So make sure to check back at Cheesehead TV for your news for that. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, everyone. Come back here on Friday, like I said, for the start of training camp. It'll be so cool. I leave you today with a song called New Country Blues by the Emmett Nershey Band on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.
Well, I ain't going back to the city no more. Staying right here on the farm. I drank that good corn liquor from the jar. And hold you in my arms. Hold you in my arms. Hold you in my arms. Well, I ain't going back to the city no more. We're staying right here on the farm.